Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Good Copy, Bad Copy. I'm Emily King, Radix's content marketing manager, and I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-House, founder and lead copywriter at Radix Communications.
Hello.
And Radix's creative director, David Maguire.
Hello and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it is that time of year. So it's the end of 2016 and in this episode we're looking at predictions we made for B2B copywriting and marketing this past year. I'm going to ask if any of them actually managed to come to pass. Plus, we're going to be looking at your predictions and wishes for B2B copywriting and marketing in 2017 alongside our own. Got some community participation this episode.
Exciting.
That's nice. We actually have submissions. We actually have contributors. We asked and people provided. That's amazing.
And there's some really interesting ideas coming up. So I hope you will stick with us. Okay, so what were some of your predictions for 2016? What did we have? What did we say back at the start of the year?
I actually have the evidence in front of me. I have it here. I went and reviewed the B2B copy chat we had in January.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember what your predictions were, Fiona, but I have them word for word.
I remember at least one of them.
You predicted... Better researched blogs will become essential as thin content increasingly gets ignored.
Yeah, and I think that has come true.
Mm-hmm. Tick.
Yes. I think this is because everybody had started doing content marketing, and so everybody had started doing business blogging. And so the rewards were starting to go to those that were doing more in-depth, better researched, better targeted blogs. And I think that's people in 2016 have cottoned on to the fact that they need to be doing that at a minimum to get attention and engagement for the blogs that they're writing. So in terms of the work that we've been doing, we've definitely been seeing requests for blogs that are more targeted, that are better researched, and that are longer in word count than they were previously.
Yeah, because Andy Crestodinas shared that research, didn't he? That apparently the average blog post is over 1,000 words for the first time.
Yes, and you do kind of get the feeling that people might think, oh, that means I've got to write a blog that's over 1,000 words. But the reason that the average blog post is now over 1,000 words is because of the additional research, I think, that's going into it. The more you're researching, probably the longer it's going to come out. But it doesn't mean that longer is automatically better in terms of blog posts.
Right. Now, this in January, Fiona, you also said this could also be the year of video in B2B, but in my experience, marketers are still reluctant to use video a lot. I think that's a tick, probably. Is that?
Yes, I mean, I think for the last 3 years, it's always going to have been the year of video in B2B, and it's always going to be taking off this year. And I always say, oh, well, we haven't really seen much of it, and it's always a bit of a damp squib, and it doesn't ever take off. But I think it does play into something else. I think I said last year, and certainly some other people said, which is that we would see more social media native content this year. And I think we have seen quite a bit more sort of very short videos used as content on social media itself to be kind of consumed on the platform and to get a point across very quickly. So I think in that sense, we have seen more video. Yeah,
we've done a cheeky few of those, haven't we? And they're starting to work. Emily's been tracking the click-throughs to our... to our ebook on interviewing subject matter experts, and that's all quite pleasing. That seems to be working, and they're fun.
Yes, and I think there are some more interesting ones to come.
Well, yes. Watch this space. Finally, you predicted the bonfire of the crap writers, because only the stuff that gets results now will be stuff that's really good.
Yeah, so that's all about, our marketers starting to measure the performance of their content, which was one of my wishes, I think, for this year. And then in the previous year, it was my wish for that year, would be that our clients, marketers would, really get into measuring content performance and seeing the difference that good writing makes. I don't know that this year... that we've seen a lot more measurement going on than we have in previous years. I know some clients are getting really hot on it, but I think a lot of people have got a long way to go still in actually looking into the analytics and measuring what makes a really good piece of content.
True. And our colleague George predicted that both that the blog will continue to rise. A good blog on a specific topic does wonders for search. I think that we can probably put a tick alongside that. Some quite accurate predictions going on here. And he also said he wondered if LinkedIn Pulse would become a particular hotspot for blog-type content. And I think that's right as well. Emily, we were talking about social content, and Emily predicted that social content will remain big because it's been used as a tactic by 93% of B2B brands. You also predicted things would get even more interesting for social content if Twitter increased its character limit to 10,000 characters.
Yeah, because that was based on rumours that were going around at sort of like the start of the year, which were before that Twitter sort of started discounting, pick links and a few other things from the character count. And so they haven't obviously expanded the character count to 10,000. That was just something that was being kind of bandied about. But certainly Twitter at the moment as a social media platform is currently struggling a lot. They've had recently laid off staff because they're finding it difficult to get new users and sort of retain traction. Like Facebook just doesn't seem to be going away. And as the only sort of like mixed user, because it's not just for business, obviously, like LinkedIn is. It's consumer, business, personal, and everything. They have perhaps still got to do a few more things to change the platform, and that will obviously affect what writers like us do when it comes to things like social seeds and native content.
Mm-hmm. You also predicted that brands will chase the idea of engaging copy, but it'll be tough for brands that do content by committee.
Yes, I think that still remains
tick
issue.
I think yeah. So yeah,
we need a bell, don't we? Well done. And interestingly, with the short social videos you were talking about, the agency Something Big predicted short informative videos and animations which will help get tricky messages across quickly or keep growing, and that the key is to create content with purpose and personalization, quality over quantity. And I think we are hopefully beginning to see some of that this year. You know, the average time someone takes over a blog post is up sort of 26%. Ben Lloyd predicted that bad marketers will cause eyes to bleed.
Happens every year, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, of course. And on that note, some guy called David Maguire predicted the rise of video and that the shortage of copywriters will obviously lead to a surge in B2B expressive dance as a medium. So I think it's pretty accurate, really.
Where have you seen the dancing?
Well, the listeners can't see what I'm doing right now, but it's a wonderful thing, and you know I'm bringing Emily to the verge of tears. I can tell with my graceful B2B movements.
Or are you causing eyes to bleed?
A bit of both, I think.
Ben's prediction has come true right at the end of the year.
Were there any other particular predictions that stood out for either of you, or things that we wanted to see this year?
I just want to reiterate, because I brought it up on maybe it was the previous episode, the episode before last, that the whole video being big this year, there were some issues that cropped up that this year in the sense of anyone who used Facebook, because Facebook had been misreporting video figures by kind of saying that people had only watched for 3 seconds for something that's far longer than that actually counted as views and stuff, and marketers essentially had incorrect data. So I would like to see how next year goes on video in terms of the stats, because in theory we will have more accurate reporting hopefully going on for Facebook, which is become a very big platform for live video and for people natively uploading video as they kind of like step on YouTube's toes more and more.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I think, you know, I still think Facebook Live, somebody's going to find a killer application for Facebook Live, and it's going to be so cool.
I used Facebook Live for the first time for the B2B Marketing Awards, not at the awards, but because my hotel room that I had got randomly upgraded because of some problem, and it was the weirdest thing I had ever seen, and I had to tell everyone on my Facebook, so I did a live feed from my hotel.
Oh God, yeah, your room crossed time zones. You needed ladders and things to get from one part of your room to another.
I needed the mountaineering kit, really, to actually fully navigate my room.
It was like a platform game. I think content length, when we did the B2B copy chat, we asked, there was a question about content length. I think everybody predicted that content was going long in 2016, one way or another. And I think that's beginning to, the evidence is, as we said, that's beginning to happen, I think.
Apart from with video, which is going short.
Yes. And looking back through them, it's interesting just how many of them are on the money. You know, often you go back to these and go, oh no, these predictions were terrible. But I think they're pretty good. You know, you wished for the end of infographics or bad infographics. I think they have declined a bit.
I've always been really prejudiced against infographics. For the reasons that I think I said in the copy chat, it's really hard to get the design and copy working together in such a way that the infographic tells the story in a better way than any other medium would have told it. And I think this year we have seen a decline in them. I think there has been an overall decline looking at the CMI survey as well. Mm. And I think it's just, you know, marketers are realizing that unless an infographic is really good and really tells a story in a kind of very immediately obvious, hard-hitting way, then it's not really worth doing it in that format.
Also, still useless on mobile most of the time.
There is that as well, yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think, and at the beginning of the year, I wished for the demise of the word impactful. And I think I've heard it less often. I think it has declined this year. It's begun to wither.
So it was an impactful wish.
Oh, and now the word is back. So it's very easy talking about what we did predict and whether it happened or not. Was there anything that happened this year that caught you by surprise that you just didn't expect, didn't predict at the start of the year?
Well, I'm actually not surprised that it happened, but I'm surprised not to see it in our predictions from the end of last year, which is more account-based marketing type content, because we have seen a few projects of that type this year, and it does seem to be the way that a lot of marketing is going in B2B. I think we'll see a lot of it next year. We'll probably come on to talk about our predictions for next year. I'm surprised that we weren't thinking about that at the start of this year.
Yeah, that you kind of look back and go, oh, so obvious.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was really a surprise, but I wasn't thinking about the way that for a lot of people, content marketing just seems to have all become bunched up at the beginning of the funnel.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, content marketing is a response to people doing more of their research online, at least in part. You know, and going further into the sales process before engaging with an organization, it seems really counterintuitive to me that more and more content marketers are just talking about that really early funnel stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting. And that came out of the CMI survey a couple of months back as well. It seems to be that the definition of content marketing is now building an audience rather than creating an environment in which you lead people through a funnel to a purchase. Yeah, that was a surprise to see that. Yeah, that shifting definition.
So excitingly enough, as well as us, you know, coming up with our predictions and our Christmas wishes for B2B and copywriting in the new year, we also went out online and asked the audience to contribute. And amazingly, they have. We have absolutely stacks of predictions and Christmas wishes. So should we start with, we've got a recorded one. We've got a couple of those.
Fantastic.
So we'll start with one from Andrew at Ernest. And we'll see what his prediction is for the new year.
Hello, everyone. This is Ernest with our prediction for 2017. We feel that in this post-Brexit, post-Trump era we're all in, there's going to be a huge amount more focus on accountability in marketing. And that means a lot more pressure and eyes from the money men on the ROI and effectiveness of all marketing activity, which also means that all of the technology that we've invested in over the last few years will really come into fruition and will really help prove the worth.
Yeah, brilliant. And actually, the whole thing around tech and analytics and data was a real theme. I mean, it came up a load in predictions and wishes that people came up with. So, you know, Nicola Ray from Modern, hi Nicola, said marketers and third party agencies. This is her wish that give a sorry, you'll have to beep that, about fully tracked campaigns so opportunities can be tied to the source, better data. And a prediction is big movement as clients move from one MAP, so marketing automation platform, to another, lots of switching. Some guy called Deg Kessler, Doug Kessler, hi Doug, says, Santa, please come in the night and integrate Marketo with web analytics and CRM in each of our clients. Careful, you might meet with resistance, but just do it, you're Santa. Oh, and send us the logins. We promise to only use them for good. Oh, and a bottle of Ardbeg and socks. I'm not sure about the socks. I agree on the Ardbeg, certainly. Shelley Lucas from Dun and Bradstreet is also keen on metrics and data. She said, I'd like to see digitally savvy B2B marketers use more diverse metrics in 2017. In addition to monitoring hard numbers, such as traffic, clicks, downloads, sales, MQLs, and SQLs, B2B marketers would be wise to track softer metrics, such as engagement level, influencer sharing, consumption, repeat visitors, etc. As marketers get more serious about personalizing and customizing content, e.g. account-based marketing, they'll want more insight into the buyer's motivations and stages. Softer metrics will be helpful here. They also come in handy when B2B marketers target not only individual personas, but the online and offline communities and networks in which those personas participate. And Jason Stockwell from Modern would like to see more VR content, but thinks a focus on ABM is more likely.
Oh. So maybe we'll get some VR content in 2018.
I kind of want more VR to happen, but it's not because I want an office dog that you can look after using a VR headset and interactive, game controls.
Anything that gets you an office dog, I think, Emily, would be on your top of your wish list. Yeah.
You have to call it Ripley.
Yes.
That's the deal. We also have a prediction from a listener in the States, from Jessica. So hello and happy Christmas to you, Jessica. And this is what Jessica had to say.
I'm Jessica Mehring, CEO of Horizon Peak Consulting and creator of the Content Lab. The tipping point for content has come and gone. I believe that to cut through all of the noise online today, you have to approach your content marketing differently. My prediction for 2017 is that knowing your audience intimately will become even more crucial. You'll need this deep understanding to create content that your audience actually wants to engage with and deliver it in a format that your audience can consume easily. My Christmas wish is for everyone to take a deep breath and remember that we are all here to serve. Our customers are not just personas. They're real people with real needs, and we are uniquely suited to help them.
Brilliant.
Amen to
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I think that's something that we all need to be thinking about all the time, is who is the actual real person that we are creating content for, and what is it they want?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we all, yes, absolutely, we can all echo that Christmas wish. I think, you know, if Santa brings that, we'll all be very much happier. We have one from Matt Warnock, who's the digital editor-in-chief at Philips over in the Netherlands. And he says, I would like to see B2B marketers lose the enormous chip on their shoulder and stop apologizing for being just or only B2B. That attitude hampers creativity and promotes the idea that dry corporate executive blogs are the only option open.
Amen to that as well.
Yeah, love it, love it. Keep the faith, Matt. The examples are out there, and we're all chipping away and trying to inject creativity where we can. And thank you for participating. And Merry Christmas to you. We have one more. We've had the prediction from Ernest. We also have Ernest's Christmas wish, if you'd like to hear
okay,
that.
Yes.
And Ernest's wish for next year is, and I'm sorry to say this, guys, but we wish that our clients will spend less on content. And what we mean by that is there should be less quantity, more quality, and also more investment in amplifying this content and getting it out there and creating results. So there's probably a big push there on using internal audiences and the sales teams and really getting things out there and creating an impact.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think we've heard a lot of people say that over this year, that you can't just create the content and hope that people are going to engage with it. You know, you have to be putting as much effort into promoting and distributing it as actually creating it.
Yeah. You definitely don't have to apologize for this, for thinking that, Andrew. I don't think there's anything very much that we disagree with there. I think we'd certainly like to be, you know, spending most of our time on the really important, you know, tactical and strategic pieces of content that really make a difference and really deliver value, you know.
And we want people to actually see them and read them, and that's where the kind of promotion and distribution comes in, doesn't
absolutely
it?
Yeah,
we don't want
right
to be writing stuff that nobody sees.
Oh yeah, it's just written like a 2,000-word blog post and nobody's looked at
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah,
it actually makes a very good point, and you know, gives a brand a great sort of like position for someone, and it's just like, oh well, we shared it on Twitter once and
yeah,
put it on, you know, a couple of people shared it on LinkedIn and yeah, that's all we did.
Yes, and I think Andrew actually made a really good point there about, you know, sort of getting employees and getting your colleagues involved in sharing content as well. And I know we've found that, you know, it's really good when our own team here share our stuff, and I think we'll be seeing more people encouraging more of their colleagues to share stuff.
Yeah, that's great. What wonderful contributions we've
absolutely brilliant
we've
stuff
had.
What, yeah, you know, what, international contributions, fantastic.
What smart people we know who listen to this podcast. Fabulous. So Fiona and Emily, do you have any predictions and Christmas wishes of your own for B2B copywriting in the new year? We've heard from others. What do you expect to see? And what would you like to see?
I have four predictions.
Ooh.
And one wish. So I think, you know, content marketing has been the big thing for quite a long time. And I think probably in 2017, we'll see it continue, but I think we'll see three other types of marketing maybe come more to the fore. Ooh. So I think definitely we'll see more account-based marketing. We're seeing that taking off already. I think, and this actually ties into something Andrew from Ernest just said, you know, when the money people, when the CFOs are really looking at what marketing is doing, I think that they're going to be saying, you want to be doing less of this kind of audience building generalist stuff, and you want to be marketing the product a lot more to people. So I think we're going to see some form of renaissance in product marketing next year. I don't know what it's going to look like. It might be different from the old style of product marketing, but I think we're going to see more of that. And I can't ignore all of the hype around chatbots and AI. And I think that, I mean, it's something that a lot of people are going to be experimenting with in the coming year to 2 years. It's something where copywriters can really get involved in writing the actual words that the chatbot says or types to you. And so I think it's a very exciting opportunity. And I think that ties into my Christmas wish. So my wish is that we get at least one chatbot project to work on next year.
Oh, that would be exciting, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Would.
Emily, do you have a wish or a prediction?
Okay, seriously, not office dogs everywhere for everyone with VR headsets, but I really seriously think in this building we've got an architectural firm moved in, and they're using VR, from what I've heard, to help people look at projects and stuff that they're commissioning, and that's, you know, that's just an architecture, but anyone who's working in big bulky products that you want to be able to show people around, I think next year we're going to see some serious VR stuff going on. But also, if you include audio with that, not everyone can hear, and also you might want to actually have some clear descriptions going on with your video. So I think there's still a need for some copy there to make sure that you've got decent scripts and subtitles for people using those services. So that's a prediction, so more VR. And my wish is that people stop talking about millennials apparently. Yeah. Apparently, yeah. I am one. But with all the stuff that I've seen, people talk about how to deal with millennials who are either influencers in decision-making processes or are in fact in charge of buying in, a lot of it is just treating the group as something that's far too homogenous, and we're just not, it's too, the way it gets profiled is too broad, and it will not help you. Just treat people like people.
Exactly.
And you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah. I completely agree.
You know, every time someone uses the word millennial, a Charmander loses its flame.
Yes.
And also the other day I heard anyone who is over whatever the maximum age for a millennial is just referred to as non-millennials. You know, we're now in a kind of, you know, amorphous group called non-millennials.
That's like being a nomad. Muggles and nomadges, all of us. Cool. I mean, my prediction is... it's kind of a prediction, kind of a wish that I think and hope that this is, that 2017 is the year when ABM and content marketing get together and make a beautiful, beautiful baby, where, you know, you start getting just some really cool content projects that are so beautifully targeted, and where all of those, you know, all of that targeting and all of that intelligence, and all of that content and interest expertise, come together, you know, and so that it's not just, oh, look, here's another report with your name at it, and is it that's been a little bit bespoked up, you know, a little bit tailored for you, but actually something that's really cool. And I think you're going to need that, because my other kind of prediction is that, you know, marketers are not known for their restraint, and in the same way that, you know, search marketing and email marketing became spam, search marketing became spam. To an extent, content marketing, a lot of that is now spam. If you're not careful, you can get ABM spam. And that's, and I just hope that that doesn't happen, because ABM is a really cool thing. And if people are just getting loads of really bad content targeted at them, then they're just not going to read any of it, and the good stuff won't get through. And then, but then there'll be a premium on quality. But so, you know, I really, my hope and my wish is that, you know, account-based marketers will really think about their content, so that it doesn't go bad like so many of the other kinds of marketing have.
Well, that's all we've got time for this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. But before we go, we'd just like to say thank you to everybody who's listened to the podcast this year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to all the brilliant people who contributed their thoughts for this podcast.
Including the ones who, we didn't have time to read them all out. There were loads.
Absolutely.
So thank you to everybody who contributed.
And our best wishes to you all for a wonderful Christmas and a prosperous new year.
Yeah, happy Christmas. Cheerio.
You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for a monthly email for the latest copywriting tips and insights.